you are able, for the gospel reading from Mark chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Breathe on us the breath of life. Amen. There's an Orkin commercial that opens with a woman who is furiously cleaning her house. She has a cloth in one hand and a cleaning spray in the other, and she has cleaned every inch of her house. Her kitchen is spotless white, her living room is spotless white, and even the outfit that she's wearing is spotless white. And she's called in an Orkin exterminator to come and examine her house. And so he comes and examines it. And she's explaining to him how she has been meticulously cleaning her house, making sure there's no food out, making sure every crumb is cleaned up off the kitchen counter so that there are no bugs in her house. And after she explains this to him, he says to her, "You still have bugs inside your walls. There's more to getting rid of bugs than just making sure the food is cleaned up from the counter." And we see in this commercial that the woman is so focused on cleaning the exterior of her house, like her kitchen counters, that she's neglected to think about the inside walls of her house. In our text for today, there is a lot of concern from the Pharisees and scribes about exterior cleanliness. We are back in the Gospel of Mark today after taking a five-week detour in the Gospel of John. And here in Mark's Gospel, we find Jesus in the middle of his public ministry. While he and his disciples are eating, some scribes and Pharisees have come from Jerusalem and are watching them. And as they are watching them, they notice that some of his disciples do not wash their hands before they eat. Now, this hand washing in this situation is a bit different from our understanding of hand washing today. If my daughter forgets to wash her hands before dinner and we forget to remind her, I might cringe a little when I realize it and think about her dirty hands taking the food into her body and that dirt getting inside her. I might cringe a little bit, but I move on. In this situation with some of Jesus' disciples, for the Pharisees and scribes, it is more than a minor cringeworthy moment. It is a big deal for them, because what the disciples have failed to do is a ceremonial cleansing of themselves. This ceremonial cleansing is a tradition for many Jews at this time, and it's linked to the requirement that priests are supposed to wash their hands before handling consecrated holy meat and food sacrificed to God. Now the Pharisees take seriously the command in Leviticus that Israel should be a priestly nation. So they contend that all Jews should follow these priestly rules and ceremoniously wash their hands and cleanse themselves before they eat. In their opinion, all food should be eaten with sanctified hands. When they see some of Jesus' disciples not washing their hands, they're upset because it appears that his disciples are not concerned with the rules about purity and impurity. They're eating with dirty, unsanctified hands. Now, to be fair to the Pharisees, we often jump to the conclusion that they advocate works righteousness, where they earn their righteousness by following all the rules of the law and tradition. But in our text for today, the Pharisees are not following the law and tradition as a way to earn righteousness. For them, following the religious law and tradition is a way to maintain their identity as the people of God. These rituals of purity are a way to maintain their Jewish faith and identity in the midst of Roman occupation of their land. Following these rules are a way for them to keep close to the heart of God and their Jewish faith. But as Jesus points out, the problem is they have focused so much on following these traditions that they have neglected to examine the state of their inner heart. And so these traditions have become corrupted by their inner motivations of power and control. Following these religious rules should be a good and pure endeavor that brings them closer to the heart of the law, which is to love God and neighbor. But because they have ignored the state of their inner hearts, these traditions and rules have taken on a life of their own and are being used to exclude and condemn others instead of showing love. And we see here that there is a disconnect between the Pharisees' outer actions and the inner motivations of their heart. They present an image of themselves as following God's law and tradition, which is built on love, but their unchecked inner motivations of power, control, and fear do not reflect that love. They have clean hands and dirty hearts. Now, it can be hard for us to relate to the Pharisees' obsession with these purity laws, but their disconnect between outer actions and inner motivations is something we see in our world every day. Every time we read a news article of a celebrated pastor who is a perpetrator of secret sexual harassment to women in his congregation, we see this disconnect between a public persona and the state of someone's inner heart. There are countless news stories about this disconnect. And it's often easier to point out the disconnect in someone else's life than it is in our own. It's easier to point out the disconnect in the life of this celebrated pastor than it is to look at our own life. Like the Pharisees and scribes, it's easier to focus on the dirty hands of our neighbors than to look at the dirty hearts within us. But we also have this disconnect in our lives. We too are swayed into becoming focused on the outer image that we present to the world. This outer image that we present is a highly edited version of ourselves that portrays us in a good light. We present ourselves and our actions as clean and good, arising from pure intentions, while ignoring our inner motivations that may not be so pure. We might give a gift to someone or do something kind for someone and present the image that we are giving out of pure intentions of generosity, while masking our deep motivation of giving in order to receive something in return, whether it be to receive love in return or acceptance or belonging in return. Our hands seem clean, but our hearts are a bit dirty. We might offer advice to someone, presenting the image that we are giving with pure intentions of being a good friend, while ignoring our somewhat arrogant motivation of trying to be their savior and fix them because we think they need to be fixed. Our hands seem clean, but our hearts are a bit dirty. We might present an image of ourselves as competent, successful, accomplished people who are confident in ourselves and lives, while ignoring our deep motivation of finding our identity and self-worth in our accomplishments. Our hands seem clean, but our hearts are a bit dirty. We might present ourselves as a calm, easygoing peacemaker who never rocks a boat, never causes conflict, while ignoring the resentment that is festering within us at not being able to voice our own needs. Our hands seem clean, but our hearts are a bit dirty. We might present an image to the world that we have it all together, that we are content with our lives, but secretly we harbor envy of our neighbor's house that is nicer than ours, or our friend's health, vitality, or marriage that seem better than ours. Our hands seem clean, but our hearts are a bit dirty. If we're really honest, we are often like the scribes and Pharisees, who have a disconnect between outer actions and the deep inner motivations of the heart. After pointing out this disconnect between outer actions and inner motivations with the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus talks to the disciples in private and further explains to them why this disconnect is so destructive. When we only focus on making sure our outer behavior, persona, and image is good and clean, while neglecting the inner emotions and motivations of our heart, our motivations can turn evil. Our hearts have the capacity for both good and evil. No matter what outer clean image we present of ourselves, if we don't pay attention to our heart, then our good intentions can become distorted. And as much as we think we can maintain the disconnect between our clean outward persona and our unclean inner intentions, we can't. We can't maintain that disconnection for long. Eventually, the unclean motivations of the heart will reveal themselves in our actions, and they will be harmful not only to us, but our neighbors as well. If left unchecked, feelings of arrogance and superiority will lead to actions that protect and promote ourselves while denigrating our neighbors. If left unchecked, feelings of envy or lust can lead to actions where we take from our neighbor what does not belong to us. If left unchecked, the will to impress and succeed can lead to deceitful actions where our success comes at the cost of the well-being of our neighbor. If left unchecked, the motivations of our heart can have destructive effects. This is one of the purposes of the law that God gives, to protect our neighbors from the destruction that can come from the evil intentions of our hearts. The Ten Commandments seek to curb the effects of our murderous, envious, slanderous, arrogant hearts. But God's law can only provide a certain level of protection. It can't fully protect us and others from the darkness that can lie in our hearts. That is why Jesus calls his disciples to attend to the state of their hearts. No heart is free from the possibility of corruption, no matter how good we present ourselves to be. Instead of pointing out our neighbor's dirty hands, we need to really look at our own dirty hearts, asking God to continually cleanse them. This takes constant vigilance. We have to give constant attention to our inner motivations. This means that we cannot ignore feelings of anger, hate, greed, fear, envy, arrogance, and unhealthy pride. We cannot ignore them because they will find a way into our actions. We need to pay attention to them and offer them up to God to transform. We need to constantly offer up our hearts so that God can redirect our hearts to the good. And when we do this, we will live out the purity that the Pharisees and scribes are so concerned with. Because purity is not just about being clean from dirt. Purity is about having our inner motivations and our outer actions connected so that our whole self is directed to the good. As I was writing the sermon last week, I read the many tributes that have been written about Senator John McCain. I watched his memorial services in Arizona and D.C. And what I heard throughout all the tributes and all the memorial services was a constancy in the life and person of John McCain. Now, politics aside, he lived a life where his inner love of his country was deeply connected to his outer actions to serve that country. His love of country directed his actions and his identity. And as others attested, he freely admitted that he wasn't perfect, that he made mistakes in this endeavor. But there was a thread throughout his life where his heart and his actions were connected in one direction of pursuing the good of the country. As followers of Jesus, we are called to a life where our heart and our actions are connected in one direction of living out the love of God and neighbor. The love of God and neighbor should direct our hearts and our actions and our identity. And we aren't perfect. We will make mistakes in this endeavor. Our intentions will not always be pure. But as we continually offer up our hearts to God in prayer and confession, paying attention to the state of our hearts, God will continually redirect us to the good and form pure hearts within us. Thanks be to God.